Okay, we'll start with our introductions, and we'll start with Victoria.
Hello, everyone. My name is Victoria Franks, and my husband and I are the pastors of King's Chapel in Ele'ele, Hanama'ulu, and the North Shore. We've lived in Hawaii since 1989, so I have a wonderful, it is home for me. I've always felt more at home in Hawaii than even the place where I grew up. And I've always had an extreme love for the people and the customs. We lived on the island of Molokai for the very first place that we lived. And we got to serve under a Hawaiian pastor and get to know all the Hawaiian customs for 6 months, and then 6 months under a Filipino pastor. So we learned everything about Filipino culture. We traveled to the Philippines a lot. And just everything that matters to the people is what has mattered to me over the years. And because I minister to people on a daily basis, it seems like to me this is just a bigger level of ministry, knowing people's needs, knowing people's desires, knowing about the things that matter to the people and how it affects them. And I feel like that I have a good grasp of what it takes to serve the people, because being in government office is being the ultimate in public service. So I just want to say thank you to the Chamber of Commerce. Thank you to the Poipu Beach Association. Thank you to Kaloa Association for allowing us the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you all for taking the time to come out here and listen to what we have to say tonight. I am Danette D. Morikawa, but all of you, of course, know me as D. I was born in Honoka on the Big Island, lived in Waimea, Kamuela, Waimea. Then we moved to, when I was 6 years old, we moved to Oahu, where I was raised by my grandparents in Waimea Falls Park. And now I'm here in Waimea, Kauai. So in that sense, you can see I'm a true Waimea girl. But I've been on Kauai for 40 years now. When I stepped off the plane, I was immediately engulfed in politics through my mom, Elaine Tyra, who was at that time the campaign manager for Governor Ariyoshi. Because of that, I hated politics. I don't like the sine wave. I really don't like house to house because I'm afraid of dogs. And back then, dogs was your enemy. But I got, my mom had always thought, please, Dee, get involved in community. And that's, you know, first out of high school, I was hired by the County of Kauai as a summer employee. And I was fortunate enough to get a permanent job. So I'm actually the youngest person with the most years of government service because of that. 36 years with the county, and now I have almost 4 years at the state legislature. All I know, my whole career is about public service, about how to serve people, about your public safety. That is why I'm doing what I'm doing today, and I hope that I can continue to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll start with our questions, and we'll start with Dee. Which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
Thank you for that question. I believe that first and foremost, we did do the beach sand bypass at Kikiola. I think that has definitely benefited our community. Kikiola Boat Harbor, as you know, when it was built, the erosion on the west side was really bad, and I think we recently accomplished getting sand moved from the Waimea side over to the Kekaha side, so we can see the fruits of that effort. Secondly, we've done a lot for Kokei. We've done that Menehune pipeline that goes down into the valley. We've always had problems with that at the county level. We finally got money released, and it's going to be repaired shortly. Health system, dealing with the state hospital. That is something that I am right now trying to go around the whole state, trying to do fact-finding so we can figure out how we can make sure that our state hospital can thrive here on Kauai. There are so many other things that I've accomplished. We have in our district, Polihali State Park, Waimea Canyon, the hospitals, the schools. We've got a lot of funding for school repairs finally. Of course, it it's because the economy is better and we're getting revenue, so we can come and, you know, we can put money towards improvements in these areas. I know in Koloa, the only thing we have here is to invest in our schools, but I'm still actively involved in complete streets and making our streets more walkable, bikeable. And I think that's it for now. Thanks.
Thank you. Victoria, which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
Well, we've established food bank programs through our church and homeless ministries and reaching out to the people in the shelters. We've also developed something called Transformation that reaches out to people that have life-controlling problems, whether it be drugs, alcohol, lots of different areas, at places where they can come in. I'm also... I volunteer a lot in my daughter's school, in Kalahale School, and we've even established another school of our own for junior high and high schoolers, helping them to be prepared for college. I teach in that and help out in that, and I counsel people on a daily basis with whatever their issues might be. My door has always been open. My phone is always on for people to reach me. So we have been able to minister to many people that way, serve many people that way. But one of my greatest things has been being involved with the homeless ministry. And we are looking into more ways that we can reach out to those people. We also provide youth camps and children's camps. The big egg hunts that you see, we have put those on, different things that serve people as a whole and provide activities and sometimes just plain fun things for people, because it's important that we have fun too, yeah, especially for kids. And I think that's about it.
Thank you. Going back to Ms. Franks, we have a long question, so here we go. District 16 includes Hawaii Dairy Farms, planned dairy at the Kalua Plain. The farm will potentially include up to 1,800 cattle. A community and businesses have expressed concerns regarding the odor, contamination of groundwater and shoreline waters, and the effect that those issues will have on the hospitality industry, which has over 2,200 units and employs more than 1,500 people just 2 miles downwind and downstream. What will you do to ensure community concerns are addressed? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I've been trying to think about this issue a lot. We have a unique island, and people come here because it is more... for lack of a better word, rural. We're not so overdeveloped. We're not the big high-rise, high-priced places. If they want that, they're going to go to Honolulu. But people come here because we have more of a down-home feel, and that's what people like about Kauai. And I know growing up in areas where there were farms, it's something that you say, okay, that's a farm. And an area that my family moved to, there were a lot of chicken farms, so there was a lot of odor. And chicken farm odor is much worse than cattle, let me tell you. If you've ever been around chicken farms, you know what I'm talking about. But I think that there's lots of issues that will need to be addressed, but I think most people will say it is going to provide jobs. It may not be a huge amount of jobs, but right now in our economy, every single job counts. Especially, you know, if you're looking for a job, you understand how that is. Also, it will help contribute to our food supply. And anything that will help reduce the cost of food, I think, is a good thing. There's some other issues that will have to be addressed, I'm sure. And there are other farms, there are other ranches around, and I had some friends that went to the beach the other day. They said they came along after some horses had been through there, and some tourists were laying right by a big pile of horse stuff, and they really didn't seem to mind at all. So I know there's issues that are going to have to be addressed, and those things that we'll just have to deal with as we come along. But I know some of the main things that are going to happen is that we're going to have more jobs, and I think that is very important for us right now at this point in time. I know we're going to be able to reduce our food cost. So, thank you.
You want me to repeat the question?
No, it's okay.
Okay.
I'm a country girl. Because I lived in Parker Ranch on the Big Island, I know what it's like to drink milk straight from the cow. So when I first drank milk, well, homogenized milk, I told my mom, this tastes green. It's like it's not ripe yet. And if you've never tried it before, it is delicious. So when I heard the dairy was coming to Kauai, I thought, I know what it smelled like before. Waimea had one, Moloa had one. It's terrible. It's a terrible smell. I've driven through Stockton in California. It's an awful smell. But this new technology, I've been told, is different. So I'm thinking, as long as they've gone through regulations, federal, state, county, whatever they have to do to operate the business here, I'm for it. Maybe the number of cows might be troublesome to most, but when you think about what Kauai does and what we are going to be doing is investing in cattle, grass-fed cattle, that's all over the whole island. When you think about that mass, then you realize that might be what is sustainable for our island. If we can get this milk branded as Kauai's own, it's going to be good. It's going to be great for our island, I think. But as long as we're careful about the environmental concerns and we deal with the hotel, I know they're very concerned, but when I golf there, I smell the sewer right next to the golf course. It's outrageously bad. I've smelled the stables, which is right next. And when you look where the dairy's going to be, it's like a couple miles in. So I don't know if there's going to be an impact. But yes, we need to be careful and we need to weigh all these issues out. But I totally support something different, new, that's going to make Kauai sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Dee. Our next question is, do you support the military's presence at PMRF Barking Sands? If yes, what will you do to ensure that it remains a priority for Kauai? If no, please explain why. You have 2 minutes.
Of course, we got to support that. We are the last defense system in the whole nation. Asia is what we have to look carefully for. Remember, we're a defense system. This facility does a lot of new technology. It provides a lot of jobs. They're very good neighbors. I think we really... I'm going to support them in whatever way I can, and I think they're going to offer our young adults job opportunities that are going to be so great for their future. And out on the west side, there's not much we can look forward to as far as job security, and I think this is something that we really need, and it does benefit the whole nation, like I said. So I would do anything I could to keep supporting the base.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, can I add one real quick thing? Sorry, it's just that they are open to letting public access more now than ever before. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Franks, the same question?
I agree wholeheartedly. I believe that the military presence here is vital to our island. They not only provide many jobs, but they provide opportunities. Like when we have the 4th of July celebration and different things, ways that they contribute to the community. And I think that, how can I say this? I think we need to do the best we possibly can because they are good neighbors. We need to be good neighbors as well. And I think that... we reach out to them, they reach out to us. It makes such a wonderful relationship. And I was reading recently about some programs that they're offering for young people as far as education, and there's different things that different programs that they're going to be offering or things that they are trying to get on board, get going. And I know that it's just the more... an even better relationship that we build with them. It's just going to make things even better on our island, not just coexisting, but intermingling. And so it doesn't seem like, well, that's just some secret underground thing or whatever. But knowing that we are in a vital place as far as defense goes, that we have people here and that we have things in place that are going to protect our island, people that are here that are going to protect our island and protect our way of life. And it's so important that we stand up. So many places now, they're against the military. So I think it's important that we stand up and continue to support them in every way that we possibly can.
Thank you. Stay with you, Victoria. Our next question is, would you support an initiative to revive the Super Ferry and have it provide service to Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
Yes, I would. I know there are lots of studies that need to be done and that things weren't quite done the way they should have been done the first time around. But I know that it will bring additional tourism to our island because, honestly, there are people from when I travel to the other islands, I find the people will come to me and say, oh, I would love to come visit you on Kauai, but I can't afford to fly, or I can't afford to do this, I can't afford to do that. So if people could come on the ferry and either be able to bring their cars or rent a car or whatever, if there was a cheaper mode of transportation, it would increase our tourism. And that would be on a day basis, so that would help our economy tremendously because of all of our businesses would benefit greatly from that. Yes, there are different studies that need to be done, some different environmental impact things that need to be handled, that things weren't handled right the first time around. But it will increase our tourism. It will provide jobs. And that's one of my major things, you know that, is finding ways to provide additional jobs. And it will provide ways even for the tourists that come here to be able to see additional islands. So I think it will be a big drawing card as well to bring additional visitors to Hawaii.
Thank you. Dee?
Okay, the likelihood of the ferry coming back are very slim, if anything, because the investment that the state put into it was tremendous, and it's a big loss, actually. And remember, that's our money, our taxpayer money. They need to go through the proper permit system. They need to address the environmental concerns. But if it does come back, it's going to come back, I believe, first from Maui, because Maui needs the ferry system to get between the three islands, Molokai, Lanai, and Maui. That's been the talk that I've heard. And if that works, then they can spread it out to the rest of the state. But by then, they would have to have all of the studies in place, and maybe by then they'll have the community support necessary to have that. But there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed. The car capacities, the invasive species traveling from island to island, that's a big concern. Unless the state has really good protections in place, it's going to be a hard thing to allow for Kauai, because Kauai is very protected from invasive species right now, and they're still coming here even without something like that. So we want to protect our natural resources as much as we can, and just bringing problems here is something we need to address for any type of transportation that comes here. Thank you.
Thank you. I will stay with you, Dee. Hawaii medical providers have been faced with the need to make some serious cutbacks, including the pending closure of the Kalaheo Clinic. How would you address this budgetary issue? You have 2 minutes.
First of all, I don't think closing the Kalaheo Clinic is the solution to this problem, which is why I'm really deep into this issue. How can you tell me that you're going to close Kalaheo and yet invest in opening up one in Poipu, which I know Poipu does need one, but maybe that's something that we need to talk about between the two health organizations, Wilcox and the state. The state cannot be throwing away money in anything that is going to compete against a private entity. We must learn to work together to provide the best health care delivery service we possibly can for our island. And those are the things that we're looking into. Kalaheo Clinic has been there for almost 40 years plus, perhaps. You know, the Dr. Wieners, they put a lot of heart and soul into that clinic. When they gave it over to the HHSC, the state hospitals, they gave it over with the promise that they would always have health care available for the Kalaheo District. And that is something that is very hard to go back on. When you make the promise to doctors that are dedicated to your island, it's very hard to say, sorry, Kalaheo, shut you down, move to LA. We can't do that. We need to find out how we can work private-public partnerships in areas where we can. But the state hospital, KVMH and Mahilona, those we need to keep under state hands. We need to do a better job of efficiency, which is what we're trying to do as we do the state visits. We need to make sure that we're not throwing away money, because Kauai was bailed out with $10 million just to pay their bills in not even a year time. I can't go back to the legislature and say, I need $10 million more just to throw it back at the hospital without even looking into efficiencies. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I've got it.
Okay, thank you.
I think you read my mind. That's exactly what I was going to say. This is something that I have, everyone, since I went to the healthcare forum back a few months ago and was trying to familiarize myself with the issues, this is something that instantaneously came into my mind. There has to be a public-private cooperation. There has to be a public-private partnership. There's no way... healthcare can turn into a monopoly, and then somebody can just run rampant over other people. It can't be that way. There has to be a partnership. People have to work together. We have to do that in every aspect of life, so we definitely have to do that in healthcare. We have to make sure that we are not throwing good money after bad. We have to look at where we can stop the bleeding, figuratively, but we have to find out where things aren't working and find a way to make them work. That's what we've got to do. The different things were brought up about maybe trying to put maybe some elder care or housing, income-producing housing up near Mahilona Hospital, things that would bring in more revenue and also provide housing for the doctors and to where they can be close to where they are serving. There's lots of different things that we can do. We just have to look. We need to leave no stone unturned when we're looking for ways to fix the issue. We can't put Band-Aids on it. I'm not speaking from a healthcare, but it can't be. It's something that's got to be really fixed, not just Band-Aided over. So thank you.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Victoria. Our next question is, District 16 includes large and small agricultural businesses. A number of those businesses were adversely affected by the Kauai Ordinance 960, dubbed the Pesticide and GMO Law, which passed in 2013 and recently was overturned by a federal judge. Do you support Ordinance 960, and what is your opinion of the judge's ruling? Oh, you have 2 minutes.
Like I said before, I support jobs, and that is the most important thing to me. The large agricultural companies employ thousands of people, and if those were to go away, we would be in a world of hurt. There would be serious problems here. And I know the people that I know, lots of people that work at those particular entities, and my daughter was even employed temporarily as a temp for a while at one of them, and she dearly loved the job because she knew she was helping people in the research that they were doing. But a lot of people got laid off, and that affected them very badly. And it affects anything that affects a large company on our island, no matter what they're doing, it affects not just the jobs, but it's a trickle-down effect. The place where they get their supplies from. Those supplies are bought here. They're not brought in from somebody else or someplace else. They get their vehicles here. Those are bought here. They're not brought in from somebody else. So everything is a trickle-down. So we have to support what causes us to have the best economy and the most jobs on our island. So I support the companies being able to provide those jobs for people. Thank you.
Dee.
At the legislature, I did introduce a House Bill 673, which was the pesticide reporting, relating to pesticides, but it's basically pesticide reporting, more disclosure. The bill was very lengthy it did have a lot of talk about what pesticides, buffer zones, everything. We vetted it out in the committees. We made it so there were areas that both sides could live with, and it did pass. It became law where the Department of Ag does have the ability to now get information from the companies. Now it's the state's responsibility to continue monitoring and inspecting these areas to make sure that our health is not being jeopardized by pesticides. And it's not just pesticides, it's other things. The state needs to go out and check on VOG issues, lead. We have pesticide areas that need to be taken care of, mold. Where we started with the atrazine study. We want to do more studies, but there's going to have to be more funding. The Department of Ag has stepped up and said they've come out to different communities on the island, and they've said they want to do their fair share just to assure us that we're safe. At this point, I think that's all we can do right now, as long as the companies are operating under the guidelines of federal and state and county policies, then that's what we need. I know there's a lot of mistrust in government, but that's why we as policymakers need to step up and bring back confidence to the people so they'll know that we're out there looking out for their health and safety. Thank you.
Thank you. Dee, we'll stay with you. Our next question is, with the military on the west side of the district and the hospitality industry on the south side, what economic opportunities do you see for the central portion of District 16, being Kalaheo, Hanapepe, and Kamakani?
What opportunities?
Yeah.
A lot of people want to keep it country as much as possible, but what I see, of course, yes. That's why I have the most diverse district in the whole state of Hawaii. I have a large district, and I have everything, boat harbors, schools, hotels, resorts, vacation rentals, and I have the ag, the big ag, and all of the parks. Anyway, this Kalaheo is one of our bigger populations. That's why I'm saying we need to keep the health care delivery system there. LALA is going to be expanding into a very big, complete streets housing that I think has excited the whole state, if not maybe the whole nation. That's where we're going to beef up the population. And so we need to improve our schools. As far as we're looking at the visitor industry in the middle, LALA, beefing up our boat harbors because visitors like to go and visit Nepali, and that's where they start out from. So we're going to make sure we keep those areas well funded and maintained. Other than that, the base has the other side covered. We just need to protect our natural resources, and I think we're all set. Okay.
Thank you. Victoria, would you like me to repeat the question? Okay. With the military on the west side of the district and the hospitality industry on the south side, what economic opportunities do you see for the central portion of District 16, being Kalaheo, Hanapepe, and Kaumakani?
Well, I think as far as Hanapepe goes, Art Night is great, and I think we need to find more ways to encourage people to frequent the businesses down in downtown Hanapepe. I think we maybe could even try to have some more, not just the farmers market there, but other kinds of fairs or things there that would draw more people in, not just visitors, but local people, just like what we have outside of KCC, and maybe have that more down in the Hanapepe area, drawing more people to the downtown area. There is some expansion, yes, in LALA. And I think that we need to find ways to draw more businesses, more mom-and-pop type businesses to Kalaheo. If you notice, there's a lot of businesses that have moved elsewhere or have gone out of businesses. There are a lot of storefronts that are empty. And I think that we need – I know there's the Right Slice is coming in there to Cujo. Everybody's really excited about that. But I think we need to find more ways to encourage more businesses to open up there, and we need to encourage our local people to go and frequent those businesses. We need to encourage people's entrepreneurial spirit. People want to come in and say, I've always wanted to have a restaurant. I've always wanted to own my own business. I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to do that. And encourage them to take that step, to try to draw more more businesses in, and just places for people to get away, have fun, enjoy themselves, get away from it for just a few minutes, just to walk around downtown. You know, how many of you have done that lately? You go down to downtown Hanapepi and just walk around. It's a fun thing to do. And we need to encourage more. When people come here to Kauai, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the small town boutiques and storefronts and local things that are going to make them have a good time when they're here.
Thank you. We'll stay with you, Victoria. Since we are on the south side, please share some examples of ways that you've been involved or supported the South Shore community. You have 2 minutes.
Let me think. I think it's a lot of the same things that we've done as far as benefiting the entire island with a lot of the activities that we've had, things that we do, outreaches that we do, cleaning up the roads, different things like that, adopt a highway. Again, our we do lots of things, just outings where we bring people down and have fun and encourage them to look around and be a part of what's going on, get involved in their own communities here. And again, egg hunts and there's so many things to do. I'm trying to differentiate what's helped Kauai as a whole and what's helped just the south side. And I honestly, I can't differentiate because I've been so interested in helping the entire island. I don't ever want to say that I single out any one specific group. You know, I wanted always to do things that benefited everybody, and not exclude anyone else. But I hope that some of the things that we've done as far as homeless outreaches or activities for the kids and things like that have benefited the South Side.
Thank you. Same question. You have 2 minutes.
I think, like I said earlier, the only thing the state's responsible for in this area would be the schools, making sure that the school repairs are done and we address traffic issues. So with that, I've been involved as far as giving my 2 cents anyway, as far as keeping the children safe in walking to school. Safe routes to school is something we definitely can help in with the state. We have money that goes into the safe routes to school because of a bill we passed a couple years ago. Another big thing would be the beach erosion. We know that Poipu Beach needs sand replenishment. I mean, back in Parks and Recreation, we dealt with that every year for like 20 years. We didn't know how to get the right sand back because the sand has to match. It can't discolor the water. It was really bad. So what I've done is put money into KCC with Dr. Blade to see if we could get more money funded for the study of sand so we can see how we can best bring sand back into the areas that we need it without all these, bad red tape permits that we have to get. So that's one area that the state can help in. The TAT taxes, we passed legislation to at least cap the taxes at 9.25, which is what it is today. It would have gone up higher to 11%. The Senate wanted to have it higher. We wanted to revert it back to the 7%, but the compromise is 9%. So I think with that, we can assure that the taxes won't be higher for our resorts. The heiau, we support that. We don't do it in monies, but if they did come to us for a grant in aid, there's a good chance that they could probably get some support from us. And then just getting involved in making the county roads safer for pedestrians and for bikes. I'm involved in that discussion with the group, the Built Environment Task Force. Thank you.
Thank you. And that concludes our questions for our State House of Representatives, District 16 candidates. Each of the candidates will now have an opportunity to give closing remarks. We'll start with Dee, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. I just wanted to go back to that, what we can look forward to the middle side of the District 16. And I forgot one of the biggest projects that we've been working on is the sports complex. We're thinking that sports tourism might be something great for the West Side because we have the best environment, we have the climate, we have long days, we hardly have any rain, so people would want to come and visit. We have beautiful beaches too. So that is something that we're going to still work on as far as getting this really huge complex so people can, big name teams can come and stay on Kauai and do their training here. But you know, my whole life has been devoted to public health and safety. This is the job that politics was never in my dream career, but this is where I feel I fit. I love what I do right now. I do it to the best of my ability. It's been proven in my past history as a government worker. We're going to work on accommodating our very young children with the ability to go to school early. We want to get them in school as soon as we can, so we need to beef up our preschool programs. Our baby boomers, we need to take care of them. Their senior years are coming. That's us. We need to make sure we can address our long-term health care. There's so much more that we need to do, and I want to do it, and I can only do it with you getting me back in office again. I am very accessible. Most people are surprised that I actually answer my cell phone, and I do my own emails. I do my own research. I just ask you, please give me another opportunity, because we need to give you representation that you can depend on. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria, closing remarks. You have 2 minutes.
Many people that I've talked to have voiced their concern that the righteous philosophy, our state motto, has not been protected, nor has it been preserved. Fairness, truth, and justice have not been upheld, and the people have lost their right to control their own destiny. Integrity and the quality of life that is desired and deserved is devolving into a culture that was not intended to be the way it has become. Apathy seems to be the rule. It's fueled by belief that the government, by disbelief that the government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Distrust is what's common now. People don't trust our government anymore. And they don't can trust that we have a compassionate heart for people, especially those people call Hawaii our home. My heart is to restore the heart of our Constitution and build trust of the people in government to return fairness to the process by which our government is run as public servants of the people, by the people, and for the people. My goal is to return fairness to the process we call democracy, where the people's voices will be heard and given due consideration, to create processes that would ensure our uniqueness as an island state and given the foremost consideration when enacting any of our laws, and to restore public confidence in government that stands for righteousness, fairness, truth, and justice, that we would be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people.
Thank you. These are your State House of Representatives District 16 candidates. Mahalo to Vicky Franks. Mahalo to Dee Morikawa. And hopefully you have had your questions answered. We're going to take a 5-minute break and get prepared for the mayoral forum. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you.
Voting is an essential part of our democratic process. By voting, you choose the representatives who will make decisions affecting you, your family, and your community for generations to come. If you care about the future of Kauai, kuno Kauai, stand up for Kauai. Register and vote. More information available online at kauai.gov/elections or call 241-4800 and learn how you can register for permanent absentee status.
Don't forget to register to vote. And in order to register to vote, you just need to be 16 years or older. So you can register to vote while you're still in high school. Doesn't mean that you go to vote, but you will be registered. If you've never registered, please register to vote. And if you have not voted before or you've moved, please register to make sure that you're in the right district. If you've gotten married or changed any information on your address, you can register to vote here in the back of the room. Deadline to register is October the 6th. And also, I just want to say thank you to the Grand Hyatt for the chairs and the refreshments for the candidates, and Hawaii Dairy Farms for the sponsorship of the sound system this evening. Without them, without their assistance and their generosity and donation, wouldn't be able to hold this evening for all of you and let you meet the candidates. So let's get started with our forum for the mayor's race. The forum for the mayor, each candidate, just like we did the last time, will be given 2 minutes to introduce themselves. That will be followed by a series of questions and answers. Candidates will be given 2 minutes to answer each question, and at the end of the questions, each candidate will be given 2 minutes to present closing remarks. And without further ado, we'll welcome to our front table our mayoral candidates for the County of Kauai, Dustin Barca and Bernard P. Carvalho, Jr. Okay, thank you. Like we did the first time as well, we'll rotate who answers the questions first. We'll start with the introductions, and we'll start with Mr. Barca. You have 2 minutes.
Mahalo. Just want to mahalo everybody for having us here and everybody who came out and who really cares about the future of our island and making the right decisions. I usually don't like to talk about myself, but everybody keeps telling me, oh, tell them what you're all about. Tell them what your life has been like. So, here it goes. I come from a single-parent home. My mother is hardworking, extremely hardworking. She's working three jobs just to buy me a surfboard because all I ever dreamed of was being a professional surfer from being a little kid on. Grew up in a hardworking, very hardworking home, and grew up with not too much. But, that brought me around the world. That brought me to see hundreds of different places around the world and interact with hundreds of different cultures and learn from all these cultures. And, what I bring to the table is a different kind of perspective on how we go at things, how we make our decisions. I put everything into perspective, all the possibilities, negative, positive, possible, impossible. And that's the way I plan to run this county. I plan to put everything into perspective and make the best decisions I can for all the people of Kauai, and especially our working class people. That's who I work for. I don't have no big corporate backing. I just have the people of Kauai, and that's what I'm here for the future of the people of Kauai and our aina. And those are my main things to my heart that I care about. Mahalo.
Thank you. Bernard, you have 2 minutes.
Good evening and aloha. Happy to be here this evening. Of course, to all of you, thank you to the chamber and, of course, the Poipu Beach Resort Association, and thank you for all that you do for this community. Bernard P. Carvalho, Jr., current mayor of the County of Kauai, very thankful for the opportunity to serve. I'm happy to the discussion tonight. Been in county government for almost 30 years. I started back in 1985 in the Department of Parks and Recreation. And then I had the opportunity to serve as a department head for 6 years. And now another 6 years as mayor, as your mayor. So I understand the internal operations of government. I worked under or with six mayors before I became mayor. So I understand the need to do an internal systems change and understand how a county operates and the importance of relationships and making things move in the direction that can serve the people that we so much serve overall, Kauai and Niihau. Born and raised, of course, on our island of Kauai in Kapa'a, of course, being here in the Moku of Kona and the Ahupua'a of Koloa. And so very fortunate and happy. My wife, Regina, from originally from Oceanside, California. We have three children, of course, and young adults. We just had a young grandbaby the other day, 9 pounds. And so very happy about our new arrival. But very happy to be here. A lot of good things happening in our island. A lot of great opportunities to make a difference. We have a great team in place. I've said that numerous times. So just look forward to the opportunity to discuss and share our story, who we are, what we stand for, some of our thoughts and ideas, and some of the things that we have done and completed and look forward to. So very happy to be here tonight to share and talk story. Aloha.
Thank you. We will stay with Mr. Carvalho with our first question. Which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
I think, first of all, when we first got into office, our first order of business was really to the signing of a new landfill. That was a difficult task that we had to look forward to, so we did that. Transportation, big effort there. Wanted to make sure that every single bus stop at a bus shelter, we're moving in that area, is on its way. Projects right here in Koloa. We just did the notice to proceed right out here for Wailana Bridge. New bleachers in Koloa Beach Park, Koloa Park right out here. Kaneulu Maheao, stewardship agreement, first ever with Hawaiian organization to really work on taking care of Aina and having an agreement with an organization that can help Malama and take care. Sand replenishment right out here in Poipu. Restoration and renovation of the restroom facilities, upgrade of stainless steel fixtures for both the south end and the east end of the park. Really looking a complete streets program right out here. First lighted crosswalk in Koloa. Wanted to make sure that Aikiki had the opportunity to get to school safely, working so closely with the schools. So right in Koloa Town, there's many and numerous projects that have already occurred and is already in operation and moving forward. And there's many more throughout the island. I'm hoping to get the opportunity to share that with you. But overall, the biggest challenge when we first got into office was the siting of a new landfill that will cover the entire island. And we'll talk about some of the aggressive diversion programs that are already in place and some of the bigger picture opportunities that fall under this particular area. And of course, taking care of this wonderful part of our island, which is Poipu, and getting our visitors moving around in a very safe way through the shuttle service. And that's another opportunity there. So those are just some of the projects that were already ongoing within this particular area of our island. Mahalo.
Thank you. Mr. Barka, which of your accomplishments have directly benefited the people of Kauai? You have 2 minutes.
Well, I don't have no history in politics. And, all my things that I have done for our island has been grassroots level. You know, I work with a lot of communities. I work with the kids. I work on heiaus. I do a lot of things that I talk about that we need to do for our island. I help my friends, people I know get off drugs. I work at clean the waterways. I try to do anything I can. And these are the things that I bring to the table, our four talking points. We talk about, food production. I work with a lot of local organic farmers. I work on the taro field once a week, and these are things that I do that I care about that are real to me, And, we work on the heiaus. I work on the heiaus down on the North Shore, two different heiaus. I work on Pooku, and I work on Ke'e, and then we help the kupuna down there, here and there, when they need our help. And, We you know, I have a lot of friends. I've lost the drugs, and that's why one of these things is one of the biggest things that I throw on the table is the drug problem on our island. And I'm always looking to help my friends and people I know and, you know, give them another chance and guide them in the right way. And these are things that I do personally, you know, and these are just, you know, you look at our four talking points, and these are things that I do on a daily basis that we need to bring to a bigger level. And, you know, I haven't had the opportunity or the money backing or anything to take our visions to the next level and to be able to take our goals for the future of Kauai to the next level and really work to protect our next generations. And, you know, that's what I do for Kauai. And I just look to be able to get more backing to do it at a higher level. Mahalo.
Thank you. We'll stay with Mr. Barco. The Kauai Ordinance 960, which is dubbed the Pesticide and GMO Law, which passed in 2013, was recently overturned by a federal judge. Do you support Ordinance 960, and what is your opinion of the judge's ruling to overturn that?
Well, I'm anybody that knows me knows that you know, I've put on all those marches you guys hear about, and I've put on all these events, and I've basically made all this noise about these chemical companies on our island. And what people need to realize is that this isn't about food. This isn't about what you should eat at your house and what you should buy. This is a way bigger picture. These are the largest chemical corporations in the history of Earth using our island as an experimental test site. Every single one of these places is called a research facility. And it's not called a farm. And that's for the reason that we are all being basically surrounded by experimentation. And so that's the main reason I have always supported 2491, 960, and anything else that has to do with protecting our people, especially our kupuna and our younger keiki, the next generation. You know, I'm a father of three. My kids are 6, 3, 6 months, and there's nothing more important than the future of my keiki and all my kids' keiki and, you know, our natural resources. We live on an island. We don't live somewhere where, you know, we have a fragile ecosystem, a very fragile ecosystem. And, you know, how our nature works is whatever goes on in the mountains goes down into the ocean, gets picked up in the rain, brought back up to the mountains. So we need to realize, you know, these corporations are spraying 6 times more poison here on our island, next to our communities, hospitals, schools, than anywhere else in the country. 6 times more poison than anywhere else in the country. And these are just facts we learned from 2491 and slip-ups of them speaking on how much chemicals they spray. And, you know, for me, it's probably the biggest issue we're facing on our island at a bigger picture. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Carvalho, the same question. Would you like me to repeat it?
This is a very emotional topic of discussion, and I do not support 960, and there's reasons why. I think there's things that I do support overall, but as a leader, you need to look at issues as critical as these kinds of issues in more of a global way. And understanding the main parts of every asset of this particular issue, from regulation, enforcement, who's responsible, legal issues, all of it. And trying to understand and stay as much as possible out of